shores of El Pacifico. Bill Henry.
We've had a great year in country music.
Question was, given the predominance of this socialist rhetoric,
I did the drugs to hide my own pain.
They're depreciating the dollar. They're transferring trillions
right.
of dollars.
I felt this thrill going up my leg.
And that's just the way it is.
World famous Phil Henry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast with a news talk and entertainment show that knows what the hell it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and that's why we take you through the looking glass here every night. Our website, philhenryshow.com. There is no other website that is sponsored by any radio show or radio station, for that matter, that is more relevant to a product than ours. Ours is a companion piece. Not only are you able to hear our show, you can watch our show, you can download our show, you can access archives of shows that go back 13 years. And even further in some individual bit instances on our website at philhenryshow.com. So, Vernon Dozier is an educator from Belmar Academy, that is in Glendale, California, and is going to be joining us because he does teach science, not only chemistry and biology to the seniors, but to juniors as well, at this private college prep high school. And obviously the education of students, this is a living science experiment. Isn't it, Vernon, watching this Icelandic volcano?
Well, it certainly is. It's a living experiment. It's a living event. And I want our students to recognize it and to get to know the geologic forces that are taking place as well as the chemical, as well as the climatological event. I want them to get to know it. I want them to be comfortable with it. I want them to be confident in their knowledge. I want them to recognize that this is a major climate changing event, as you've been indicating, Phil. And I don't need, certainly, for anybody in our in the administration or in the homes and PTO to remind me of my job, and that's what I was telling you.
Well, you had a suspension based upon the way you were conducting this class on the volcano.
No, that's not exactly right, Phil. If you let me tell a story, I'd be happy to tell it. What happened?
Okay, go ahead.
What happened was the students, I had informed them. I said, "You look at that. Let me. If you look at that, let me just tell you what I told the students. When you look at that volcano, you are looking at something that is sending into the upper atmosphere particles of volcanic ice and volcanic glass that can block literally the sun's rays. And I'd like you to go home tonight and tell your parents what you know." And the kids came back the next day and were relaxed, and I was happy to see that they were relaxed, and they continued with, you know, this relaxed attitude. So I said, "Did you tell your parents what I have told you and what I have tried to tell other classes, that this is a geologic event that can change climate conditions on our planet?" And they said, "Yes, we did, and our parents are not concerned." And I said, "I'm glad they're not concerned, but I'm also upset."
What were you upset with?
I'm upset with the fact that we have a volcano in Iceland that can change living conditions on this planet to a point if the air is not breathable.
Are you saying that that's how serious it is?
I'm saying, Phil, that when I took the kids, and what we did, as you know, we went into the Azusa Canyon where they have caves, and I led the kids into that cave on one of our field trips, and I said, "This is how you're going to live. This is how you're going to live if that volcano gets any worse." Now, H.G. Wells wrote a phenomenal book called The Time Machine.
Right.
And in that book, he talks about human beings in the future having to live underground. And I said to the kids, I'm not saying you have to live underground, but I am disturbed that you come back after telling your parents that this volcano is a very serious climatological event, and you come back and tell me that your parents are okay and are not concerned. I said, I am concerned. Now look at this cave, because that's how you're going to live if you don't take this seriously. Now,
did you have the sense that the kids were not taking this? The information you had to impart about this volcano was very serious.
It's of extreme seriousness when you talk about, first of all, it's important for the lesson, but secondly, if you look at the video and the film footage that has been at great risk, that has been compiled by a very brave people who are taking these pictures, look at the size of the explosive effect of that volcano. Look at the bilious clouds of noxious gases and debris and pumice that is being thrust into the air. People took that film footage and took those photographs at great risk of their lives. At great risk of their lives. And I tell my students to go home and tell their parents that this is something every family should know about. And they come back and tell me that their parents are fine. So I...
This field trip that you took, Vernon,
yes,
was to Azusa Canyon, which is out in the eastern part of Los Angeles County. Are there caves?
Yes, there is an extensive array of caves in one part of the canyon, some of which were used by Chinese railway workers in the 19th century. And there is still ash from campfires and so on there. And I said, this is how you're going to live, just like these Chinese did, if I don't get one of your parents to take, and I didn't mean to be angry, but, you know.
What were you looking for these parents to do?
I want them to take me as seriously as they take any memorandum that they get from a boss or from a superior, and they file it neatly in their little briefcase or whatever they take. I wanted them to do that for me. But instead, I send their students home with information about an event that could smother this planet, and the students come back the next day telling me that their parents are unconcerned. I'm offended by that. And that's why I took them out to the canyon and showed them.
What was this reference?
Oh, excuse me for a minute, Phil. You don't mind.
I'm sorry.
And showed them how Chinese had lived. And did they want to live like that? Living, eating like animals in a cave.
What, if you don't mind, I have to ask you, what was the reference to H.G. Wells?
The reference to H.G. Wells was to a part of the book Time Machine, in which people are discovered to be living underground. Do you know why, Mr. Henry?
Because of some event, thermonuclear war, I thought, when I first read the book.
Because of climatological changes.
Well, it was some war, right?
We're not at liberty to conjecture what H.G. Wells meant. We know climatological changes are why the Morlocks were driven underground and became mutants and fed on the people that lived above ground.
You know, I got to ask you something.
I'm not finished, sir.
Well, I got to ask you something. You are very, very wound up about this.
I'm wound up about it because I told my seniors to go home.
I'm serious that you need to calm down.
I told my seniors to go home and tell their parents that this volcano that none of these kids knew how to pronounce, and I worked on it, and I worked on it with them. And this is what I've got, a private school. I'm a senior class advisor. I teach the juniors and seniors science and health. I'm also an athletic director, and I haven't got anybody in this class that can pronounce that volcano name. I told them to go home and tell their parents that this was a major event, and they came back and they said they told their parents, and their parents couldn't be less interested in what the information was to get given.
All right, I'm going to take a break, okay?
I'm sorry?
We're going to take a break, Vernon, and we'll be back. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Your call's coming up next for Vernon Dozier, a high school educator who has told his seniors and juniors that this is a volcano that could affect the climate, and to go home and tell your parents that, and apparently he hasn't gotten a response that he finds satisfactory.
Not because I didn't get a response I didn't find satisfactory. I didn't get an intelligent response.
Well, that's what I'm saying, and you eventually got suspended because you took the kids out to a series of caves and told them that that's...
The Morlockian time travel, as long as you ask me the question, the Morlocks fed on the Eloi, Eloi, E-L-O-I, and the Morlock fed on the Eloi. That's what I was trying to say to you when you were asking me the question about the time travel and about H.G. Wells and about what the... about time travel and H.G. Wells.
I understand that. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Vernon Dozier, teaching about the volcano and the climate change threat that it presents, and a lot of these parents are just not getting it, even though the kids are going home and telling their parents, and that's what's got him upset, and it also got him suspended for using a field trip to show kids caves where they say, he said, they may live someday if this volcano is not taken care of. 877-876-PHIL. Your call's next for our guest, Vernon Dozier, on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Talking about the are you? Am I on the Eloi?
Phil Henry. It's the Phil Henry Show.
That you talk to a father. We have Vernon Dozier on the line. Mr. Dozier, a high school educator from Glendale, California, a science and history teacher of seniors and juniors. In speaking to your students about the volcano in Iceland, you asked them to go home and talk to their parents about it, and you got a less than satisfactory response. You then took the kids on a field trip to Azusa Canyon, where you showed them caves, and you've been suspended. What was the reason they gave you for your suspension?
I was told that my reaction to the parental notice that I had sent, and that was sent back by some of the parents, was inappropriate. And I'm going to tell you something, Phil. It was not inappropriate at all, especially when I had at least one student tell me, Patrick Stewart, who's one of my senior students, said that he told his father what I had said about the volcano in Iceland and the problem that it does present to the planet. And I asked him to tell his father. And he told me that his father said to him that he didn't care about the volcano in Iceland, and said to his son, this is how much I don't care. And he took him outside and he poured some charcoal briquettes into a fireplace, into a barbecue, and lit the charcoal briquettes, which are known to pollute seriously the upper atmosphere. And yet this man had such a lackluster, cavalier attitude about what I had said about this volcano that he lit these briquettes with this match, and he used this.
I'm very worried about your health, sir.
My health is fine, Mr. Henry.
Well, it sounds like you can't breathe.
No, I'm fine. I am trying to get the message out. He lit these briquettes, and then he did something that was so childish that I don't even want to mention it, but it was the most childish thing I think I could imagine any parent doing with a son standing there and trying to tell that parent about a climate-changing event like a volcano, a climate-changing event like a volcano, striking a match and lighting something, and I don't want to say what it was.
I don't understand. This father said...
The father said, if you listen to me for a second, Mr. Henry...
I've been listening to everything you're saying, sir.
All right. I told this young man, Patrick Stewart, who was in my senior class, I said, would you please go home and would you please go home and tell your parents about the volcano in Iceland, which I feel is a very serious event for this planet. Go home and tell them.
Can I ask you what...
Would you please not interrupt me? Please.
I've got to ask you, what is wrong with you?
There's nothing wrong with me.
Sounds like you're not breathing.
Breathing fine. I'm breathing fine, sir. I asked Patrick to go home and tell his father, and his father said, I don't care. This is what Patrick told me. His father said that he doesn't care about the volcano, and that this is how much he doesn't care. And he took his son outside. He poured a pile of these charcoal briquettes, the Kingsford charcoal briquettes, into a barbecue, and he got a match and he poured the lighter fluid.
What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with me? What?
Well, I just heard you go, oh God.
I'm remembering the story and the emotion that it caused me to hear this boy tell me that his father took the charcoal briquettes and poured them into a pile and put the charcoal lighter up and put the lighter fluid on top of it and lit it, and then he bent over and into a ball. He rolled into a ball on the ground, and he took out a lighter. The boy said it was a Zippo lighter. His father rolled into a ball on the ground and lit one of his own parts right there on the ground, and I told him.
I want you to hang up on him.
I told the kid.
Want me to talk to him on hold?
Talk to him on hold, yeah. Tell him I think he's done for that. I don't want to talk to him anymore, okay?
Because he said about lighting a fart?
No, not because of lighting a fart, bud. Did you hear the guy?
It sounds like he's got like emphysema or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, he sounds like he's not breathing. He's talking about the guy to... I don't even understand what he's saying. He doesn't sound like he's well. He sounds like he's sick. He sounds like I did before I went into the hospital for pneumonia. Guy sounds terrible. Anyway, Mr. Dozier, thank you so much, sir. And I hope that your whatever it is, your high school class out there and the parents come around to your way of thinking on this. Because, brother, you sound like you really... You're wrapped a little too tight on this stuff, man, you know? And taking the kids out to a cave in Azusa and saying, this is how Chinese railroad... I'm telling you, man, I'm going to die.
Yeah, but you can't laugh, man. That guy sounds like he got lung cancer.
The guy's telling me about how he took the students out there and said, this is how Chinese railway workers lived. And if your parents don't pay attention to the volcano, we're all going to live like Morlocks eating the Eloi? What is that?
Because he's afraid about it.
Oh, he's out of his... If he's afraid of that happening because of that volcano, that cat's got more screws loose. He's got more screws loose than the last thing I bought from Home Depot. Or maybe I should have said Office Depot.
Yeah.
All right, our number 877-876-PHIL on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And don't forget our website, www.philhenryshow.com. All right, we're going to tell you the best places to live if you're a man. Plus, pictures of the new iPhone are released, and I guess everybody's getting jazzed about that. And now that I have an iPhone, I guess I should be one of them. Funny thing, I'm not. I don't really care. The iPhone I got is just fine, you guys. You know, and like I said, the technology that we are developing and the ability to go from, you know, transmit information from one place to the next is fantastic. The problem is we just ain't got all that much information to be transmitting these days. Now, do we? Why don't we slow down on the product part of it or the hardware part of it and pick up a little more on the software part of it? That's my philosophy. 877-876-PHIL. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show here, kicking off this here week. And the U.S. Supreme Court has taken up a public employee's privacy case. The Supreme Court appears likely to rule against public employees who claim a local government violated their privacy by reading racy text messages they sent on their employer's account. No kidding. Racy text messages. If you've got a BlackBerry or a cell phone or a computer or anything that you're using for work, Jack, don't put anything private on it. You think you've got a right to privacy when it's owned by somebody else? Owned by somebody else, and you're supposed to use it for work. Meaning that there are certain work-related expectations, there are prohibitions and expectations and procedures, and you're supposed to follow, adhere to, or otherwise be cognizant of all of them. Hi, I own this. This is for work. Okay, okay. Then you're sending, like, sex messages. You're sexting, as they say. Your ass is grass. In fact, that's exactly what the Supreme Court said in their majority opinion, your ass is grass. No, the Supreme Court does appear, though, likely to rule against public employees who claimed a local government violated their privacy by reading racy text messages they sent on their employer's account. Oh, get a clue. Several justices said Monday that the employer, the Ontario, California Police Department, acted reasonably in monitoring the text messages. In view of its written policy warning employees, they have no guarantee of privacy in the use of office computer and electronics equipment. Justice Stephen Breyer said he didn't see anything, quite honestly, unreasonable about that. While the case involves government workers, the decision could have broader privacy implications as courts continue to sort out privacy issues in the digital age. Many employers, including the Ontario Police Department, this is Ontario, California, well, no, it's Ontario, Canada. This is the U.S. Supreme Court, Phil, so yeah. Anyway, tell workers there is no guarantee of privacy in anything sent over their company or government-provided computers, cell phones, or pagers. The case arose when the Ontario Department decided to audit text message usage to see whether its SWAT team officers were using them too often for personal reasons. Three police officers and another employee complained that the department improperly snooped on their electronic exchanges, including many that were said to be sexually explicit. An Ontario police official had earlier informally told officers that no one would look further if officers personally paid for charges above a monthly allowance. So that's one of these stories where they came into court and they said, well, we were told, yeah, horse dung. You know, if you're told anything, make sure you got a witness. Make sure that there's somebody there from the department that is witnessing this exchange so that it has some, you know, so at least you can make the case to the court that somehow it's binding. But here is Judge Andrew Napolitano from Fox News. Now, why it is we're listening to him is anybody's guess, but Shep Smith likes him. So anyway, he explains to Shepard Smith that currently there are laws. Why are we always using this guy? Why are we always using Fox News as some kind of but even a Republican, Tom Coburn, the Republican senator from Oklahoma, said, you know, Fox News, take a freaking powder. Anyway, Judge Andrew Napolitano of Fox News explains to Shepard Smith that currently there are laws about privacy and employer-owned BlackBerries, pagers, etc., blah, blah, blah.
And here's what the law says. Everybody is either told or understands that the hardware belongs to the boss.
Right.
So you don't have an expectation of privacy.
None.
If you, for example, give a, if you're in school because the principal has the combination to your locker, there's no expectation of privacy there.
Exactly.
Same principle applies. What's different about this case is that the employer is the government. As the government, it is restrained by the Fourth Amendment and a lot of laws that prohibit the government from doing certain things. So this is not the best case for the court to come down with a ruling for all employers. However, the court is tired, I think, of these cases
probably
about privacy in the workplace, and so it might issue a set of guidelines that would apply to the government as employee and private employer and private industry as employer.
Well, that's great. That's a TV judge there, folks. That's Judge Napolitano. I'm sure he's a great guy. I got nothing against Fox. It's just, you know, let's get some other opinions here besides a TV judge. Next week, Judge Judy will tell us what she thinks about the Supreme Court doing thus and so. Anyway, the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco said the informal policy, I did like what he said there about the court being tired of hearing these cases. I mean, we do. We have to figure this stuff out sooner or later. I'll tell you the other thing they better figure out is who's responsible for these websites when something slanderous or libelous is placed. And the other thing they're going to have to figure out, something that I have a personal interest in, is when they're going to drop the hammer on these people that are using copyrighted material and reusing it and putting it on public sharing sites and just basically stealing from the rest of us who work for a living. I'd like to know when they're going to do a ruling on that. I'd like to know when they're going to rule that anybody that does it, and I know that the RIAA, the Recording Industry Association of America, these people, or however you pronounce it, these people have decided to go after anybody that takes music that is, you know, copyrighted, that is owned by others, and they put it on a public sharing site. Your ass is dead. Dead! You want to send it to friends, that's fine. You know, you have a right to it and you're sharing it. It's like the guy said, you want to whistle in the shower, man. I mean, that's, you know, and somebody picks up the tune and they start whistling. It's not exactly a copyright violation. But if you take the recorded piece of music and put it on a public sharing site and you start giving it away, you ought to be shot. These people that steal like that, if you did it to them, they wouldn't stop squealing, man. They'd be crying and sniveling and complaining about it until the cows came home. I don't know what it is they do for a living, if in point of fact they work at all. But if you stole from them in the same brazen way that they steal from others, you know, there wouldn't be an end to the diapers that you'd need. All right, in this particular story, the Obama administration is backing this. What the hell is this? The Obama administration is backing the city, arguing that the written policy, not any informal warning, is what matters. The computer help desk cannot supplant the chief's desk. That simple, clear rule should have decided the case. All right, anyway, so if you've got a computer or something that is owned by somebody else, then it ain't yours, and they're going to look into it and embarrass you sooner or later. 877-876-PHIL, the stories we couldn't get to coming up on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, all right, all right. Turn the music off. 877-876-PHIL. First of all, I don't want to use Fox News as a source for anything ever again. I got nothing against Fox News. And I know there are people that are addicted to it, and they think that if you say anything against Fox News, like if you say something against the Tea Party, you say anything, you must be an Obama liberal. I got no use for CNN either. quite honestly, I was one of the first guys to say it, because we did it ever since we went on back on the air in 2007, that you got to get your news from a lot of different sources. But I don't think Judge Andrew Napolitano knows his ass from a hole in the ground, and I don't know who he is, and I don't care. Some jive ass they hired to sit there because he used to be a judge someplace, and he's going to give the opinion? Who the hell is he? Fox is a, and here's the thing that most of the people that criticize Fox don't understand, and Fox doesn't care. They like the idea that people think they're a news channel. They're not. They're a talk radio station, except they're on TV. So they don't have any specific qualification when it comes to reporting news. They've got a lot of opinions. They don't have any specific qualification when it comes to reporting news. That's number one. Number two, just because they hire a guy and they call him Judge Napolitano, I mean, that sounds like an ice cream to me. I don't know who that is, what that is, or where that's from, and what he has to say about things. I mean, I've got more to say about it. That's how much I trust that. And I'm going to keep saying this until they bury me. Why it is we trust stupid-ass television news channels more than we would a politician? Why? I know politicians lie. Of course they do. I mean, if I said that politicians didn't lie, I wouldn't be patriotic, would I? If I didn't agree with the prevailing notion, which is politicians are dishonest, why, I just wouldn't be a patriotic American. So, of course, politicians lie. But here's one thing that most people won't say. Because if they say it, then they have to admit they're pretty stupid. That is, television stations and TV networks and news channels, they lie too. Well, you can't get anybody to figure that one out. For love or money, people are like, why do you say that, Phil? That's really, why do I say that? Are you serious? I say it because they're in business for one reason, to get viewers, not to tell the truth. Well, if you could lie and get someone to watch you, then why would you tell the truth? Yes, but people don't want to hear lies. But people don't recognize the truth when they hear it. They'd rather believe a lie if it conforms to what they believe or what they think they believe than to believe the truth if it makes them look stupid. So they're gonna believe the lie before they believe truth. And that means that that guy that runs that news channel or that talk station or whatever it is you want to talk about, that guy has got to lie to keep those people viewing or listening. And the advertiser doesn't care because he's going to buy whatever channel has the most viewers or the most listeners. So that's the thing that I think is really funny. And that's why in this article here, distrust in government skyrockets. Oh, sure, I'm sure that it has. Of course it has. You know, monkey see, monkey do. When you hear someone say that the government sucks, well, yeah, that must be the reason why the government sucks. And so everybody distrusts the government. How about a little distrust of media again, huh? With economic woes persisting and bitter partisan battles brewing in Washington, the number of Americans who trust the government has fallen to one of the lowest levels in half a century. This is from Huma Khan of ABC News. Why would I want to believe you, ABC News? You guys lie more than anybody. You're right up there with Fox. Only 22% of those surveyed said they can trust the federal government almost always or most of the time. 19%. Well, who would say you can trust the federal government all of the time? What simple-minded bastard would say that? Right? Right. But then what simple-minded bastard would go to bat for CNN or Fox? Who'd say, no, I think they're, no, they don't lie, man. They tell the truth. For the first time, somebody's telling the truth. How simple-minded do you have to be to believe that about Fox, CNN, MSNBC, or any of these channels? Well, who believes that, Phil? Hey, take your pick. About 43% said that government had a negative effect on their daily lives, a startling jump from 13 years ago when only 31% expressed similar sentiments in the poll. The number of people who felt the federal government threatened their personal freedom also rose to 30%. The American people today wouldn't know if their personal freedom was being threatened if somebody shoved a shotgun down their pants and cocked it and got ready to squeeze a few off. With midterm elections just around the corner, the numbers illustrate a potential problem for President Obama and the Democrats. You know, the reason why I have no sympathy for the Democrats and President Obama is because these bastards brought this on themselves. When President Bush was trying to lead this country through a very, very harrowing period following 9/11, when the president made the absolutely correct decision in attacking and invading and killing Saddam Hussein's ass, absolutely the most correct decision he could have made, which was to drop the hammer of the American military in the Middle East, and he was taking all kinds of heat for that, the same kind of rhetoric was being directed at him by the Democrats and by the progressives. So you guys, you can just suck on it now, man. You're asking for all kinds of consideration. You're asking for all kinds of understanding. You want to know why we've gotten so hateful? You people were so full of hate and vitriol, it was, you know, you could smell it. So that's why you're not getting any breaks. Now, as far as the, and you know, and this is the childish way that we do things in this country, but that's just the way it is. I heard Michelle Bachmann say it today. You know, she's such an imbecile, I can't even attribute hypocrisy to her. When they talk about hate speech, all she could do was say, well, you know, the liberals, they do it too, with that that stupid-looking Stillwater grin on her face. And then she went on to make more of her outrageous, ridiculous, asinine comments about how the government owns 51% of this, 52% of that, and how the government is doing this, that, and something else. And she calls herself a Republican, okay? Well, take a good long look at your party, because they believe in big government too, just not the same kind as the Democrats. All right, man, let's go to some of the stories that we couldn't get to here on the show, which I guess we got a couple of them, right?
Yeah, well, there's prom-goer one, and then I want to hear about a cafeteria worker, and then here's...
I got it, man. Thank you very much. All right, so the stories that we couldn't get to tonight on the Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget, coming up tomorrow, we're going to... I'm going to have a roundtable on this program with a number of different people discussing... Well, just discussing the general overall state of the country. We'll have our roundtable discussion with Steve Bozell and his daughter.
Yeah, maybe the teacher from the school.
And maybe the teacher from the middle school. All right, stories we can get to. High school students attending a prom in Oklahoma say they watched as a repo man drove away a limousine they'd rented. At least one initially thought it was being stolen. Landon Weiland said he and friends had rented the car from Galaxy Limo for Friday's prom in Jenks, a suburb of Tulsa. Weiland said they'd gotten out of the car when it was driven away while their driver was standing next to them. His reaction, our limo is getting carjacked. Galaxy Limo owner Jim Nicoletti said there was a miscommunication between his lender and the repossession company. He said he and his bank had worked out the issue, but the bank did not tell the repo company to cancel the job. Yeah, sure. In Atlantic City, New Jersey, students at New Jersey's Atlantic City High School have learned not to mess with the lunch ladies. Cafeteria workers served only cheese sandwiches Wednesday and Thursday of last week as punishment for a food fight. School Superintendent Frederick Nichols said the school supplies only the basic food requirement when there's been a food-throwing incident. Nichols said the policy has been effective over the years. Only the group that engaged in the fight out of the school's three lunch periods was punished. Parent Bridget Reed became angry after her daughter explained the menu. Reed called it prison food. Oh, shut up. Man charged with calling 911 18 times in 2 months. A Bradenton man was arrested after reportedly calling 911 a total of 18 times in just 2 months. Manatee County deputies arrested a 55-year-old man last week when authorities said he called 911 three times. During the third call, the suspect reportedly accused the deputy who had responded to an earlier call of making out with a prostitute who lives across the street from him. Well, obviously, this guy's a cuckoo, man. Anyway, another deputy responded to the man's home, and it was learned that he had made 15 other 911 calls since February the 15th. He had been previously warned not to call 911 for non-emergencies. The man was arrested and charged with misuse of 911. He's being held on a $1,500 bail. Wow. An Overland Park man who was flashed an obscene gesture at the Olathe, Kansas, who flashed an obscene gesture, I should say, at an Olathe, Kansas police officer after getting a ticket, is getting rewarded for his behavior. The city of Olathe has settled a civil rights complaint filed by Scott Shaper of Overland Park. He was ticketed in September for disorderly conduct for flipping off an officer who'd given him a ticket for running a stop sign. The city of Olathe last week agreed that its insurance company would pay $4,000 to Shaper, with another $1,000 for the American Civil Liberties Union of Kansas and Western Missouri. Olathe police also must train its officers that they are required to take such verbal abuse, whether they like it or not. That's not verbal, man. It's being flipped off. Anyway, the Kansas City Star reports that Doug Bonney, legal director for the ACLU chapter, says Shaper reacted angrily when the traffic stop made his children cry. So how is this guy getting rewarded? I don't understand. A California Highway Patrol officer was briefly evacuated. A patrol office was briefly evacuated earlier this month when investigators became concerned that an arrestee might have been carrying a concealed explosive device. When officers collared Stephen Farini on a drug charge, a search of the 60-year-old suspect turned up a suspicious wire with an on-off switch. It was in his pants pocket. The wire was found to extend from the pant pocket to the subject's anus.
Really?
The world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Jason Rance, technical director Ralph Rodriguez. Until tonight, tomorrow morning,
Phil Henry.
Good morning from the El Pacifico.